Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm here with my guests, Sister Guadalupe and Sister Elva, who are the Secretary General and Superior General for the Pax Christi Institute. Thank you so much for joining me today, sisters.
Thank you for inviting us.
It's a pleasure to have you. And what we're going to focus on in this program is the Pax Christi Institute. But before we speak about that, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Yes, my name is Mother Mary Elva. I am the Superior General of the Pax Christi Institute, and I have been with the Order since the Order was born, and the Order was born here in Corpus Christi. There have been beautiful years that I have spent from the beginning until right now. So It is beautiful to serve the Lord, and that's what I feel. And since today is my birthday, I also give thanks to God for that.
Happy birthday, sister. And what about you, Sister Guadalupe?
Well, I had been as a sister for 22 years. I met the sisters in Mexico, and I like their charism about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, our peace. So, and then I came over to the Mother House, which is here in Corpus Christi.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, Sister Elva, you briefly touched on it, but can you tell me a little bit about the history of the Pax Christi Sisters?
Yes, the Pax Christi Sisters. It is an order that was founded here in Corpus Christi, July 19, 1969, and it was under the jurisdiction of Most Reverend Bishop Thomas J. Drury. The name first was Society of Christian Social Service, but then later on it was changed to Pax Christi Institute because it was after Vatican Council II. All the different communities were not orders, but they were institutes. So our community was named Pax Christi Institute since then. The order was originally in Laredo. We were members of another order, the Servants of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of the Poor, where Mother Teresa and myself and five other members were there. Mother Teresa was serving the poor and trying to do her very best, and it was the order over there in Mexico took it as if they were doing much more than what they were used to in Mexico. So actually they said, well, you do not have the spirit that we have here in Mexico. It was some sort of a confusion, and she was asked to leave the order. And Mother Teresa, being a professed member, perpetually professed member, she said, I have to consult this with my bishop. And it so happened that the bishop was coming. At that time, it was Bishop Drury, and he was coming to Laredo on that precise day. And it was Monsignor Jones that we talked to, and he got in touch with Bishop Drury, and we met with him the very same night. And we started discussing how what happened that afternoon, that Mother Teresa was asked to leave. And Monsignor Jones said, you know, what we really have here is the birth of a new institute, and it is for the glory of God. And that night we saw that as the grace of God was there, the Holy Spirit was giving birth to another new institute for the glory of our Holy Catholic Church.
And talk about providence. You know, some people might look at that history and that story and say, and have all sorts of questions, you know, why? But the fact is, as you so beautifully put it, was that this was the birth of a new institute the dedication to service continue, but just under another name and another charism. Mm-hmm. And you all were able to come to Corpus Christi and become the Pax Christi Institute.
That's correct.
So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Let's go ahead and talk about the actual physical building of the Pax Christi. And this is a retreat center. Am I correct with that?
That's right, correct.
Wonderful. Sister Guadalupe, can you share with us a little bit about the Institute itself?
Yes, about the retreat center that we are now going under construction is located in 4601 Kalalen Drive, right after the Convent of the Pax Christi Sisters. And the liturgical retreat center that we are trying to build is to strengthen the faith of the participants and to cherish the spirituality of the Pax Christi Sisters, oneness in the Lord. And this project includes a chapel, a dormitory, and reception hall, which includes a cafeteria. The chapel will hold 300 persons, and as well as the dormitory will hold 162 rooms or accommodate 162 persons. And the reception hall will include the kitchen and the conference rooms, which will accommodate also 300 persons.
So, Sister, we're talking about a liturgical retreat center, and you mentioned that it was in Kalalen, so it's not too far from Corpus Christi, Texas. But what is the liturgical retreat center for it? Who is it going to serve? What activities will occur at the retreat center?
Yes, the retreat will be able to accommodate different groups. Like Journey to Damascus, charismatic groups, and also is available to all denominations. Also, we'll accommodate personal retreats, single retreats, groups retreats, a day retreats, and is going to be available to any event that would like to have something going on at the retreat center. So it's going to accommodate any kind of retreats.
Well, let's talk about that. When we talk about day retreats, are there going to be, let's say, sisters on the ground that can provide spiritual direction? How would that work out?
Yes, there will be some of our own sisters that will be providing spiritual direction, as well as priests that will be invited and other people that will be part of the group there.
That's good to know that during your busy professional lives or even your single lives, I know myself as a mother, I can definitely use some time, at least one day I pray, where I can refresh myself. And to know that I have a place where I could go and receive spiritual direction is wonderful to know. Speaking of that, what is spiritual direction? Let's talk about that.
Right. A spiritual direction is when you are asked somebody to guide you through that encounter the Lord, and you ask somebody to guide you through that process and find the Lord in your life. Mm-hmm. And only we can find Jesus through the silence, through the guidance of somebody else. And that's actually what a spiritual direction is. When you will go and spend time with the Lord, in silence, and then have somebody else to guide you through the process. Somebody else is going to guide you through the Bible, through scripture, through a special passage in the Bible. But actually, it's just one myself or you yourself that are going to encounter that presence of Jesus through the silence, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or just holding the Bible.
So you're forming an image in my mind of being able to go to the liturgical retreat center, go to adoration, visit with Jesus Christ in the chapel, go and continue my prayer perhaps alone, read the Bible, reflection, and then go and speak with the spiritual director that could answer some of my spiritual questions.
Correct.
Is that a good summary of a day retreat?
That's right.
And also, every person has a relationship with God, you know, and that is also being enriched there, you know, by the Blessed Sacrament, by like the silence and all of that. But each one of us are in a certain place in our journey We all are in different, in the beginning, the middle, we're all in different parts of our journey. So that will help us, you know, to enrich ourselves. It doesn't matter, you know, where are we in that journey. The spiritual relationship will be enriched.
And we do know that that journey never ends. So for those of us who think that we've we're at the finish line, there's always a bigger and better relationship that we can build with our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So to know that we can do that here is wonderful. Sisters, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
This is Monsignor Morgan from St. Peter, Prince of the Apostles Catholic Church on Violet Road in Annaville. This is a wonderful year for the Diocese of Corpus Christi as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of our founding. As part of our parish jubilee celebration, we are having a mini retreat on Saturday, March 24th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The presenter of the retreat will be Dana, the Irish singer and speaker who has shared her strong faith and singing voice for popes and at many World Youth Days. There is no charge for the retreat, and lunch will be served. Dana will also present a family concert in our church at 3901 Violet Road on Sunday, March 25th from 3 to 5 p.m. Bring the whole family to this free concert and hear Dana speak and sing. For more information, call our office at 241-3249. May God bless you and your family. And happy birthday to the Diocese of Corpus Christi.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guests, Sister Elva and Sister Guadalupe from the Pax Christi Institute, and they're speaking to us about the Liturgical Retreat Center with the Institute. Again, it's located in Kalalan, and we spoke a little bit about what the Retreat Center is going to offer the community. But I'd like to talk about a day in the life at the Liturgical Retreat Center. I understand that not everyone needs to go and participate in a retreat, but there are daily activities that any individual can go and enjoy. Can you speak a little more about that?
Sure. We start the day with the Mass. Actually, morning prayers in the morning at 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning. Right after morning prayers, we will have Mass. And right after, we'll have the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Continue all day until 5 o'clock. And then 5 o'clock would be a rosary with the sisters and praying evening prayers with the sisters.
So anyone can go and participate in those activities, Sister?
Yes, everyone can go and participate. It's open to the public. It's going to be open to the public, so anyone can go and participate. We will have prayer books available for whomever don't have any prayer books, so we will have prayer books available.
Let me clarify, not only activities, but participation in the sacraments. You're going to have daily Mass.
Correct.
And we're also going to be able to experience the Blessed Sacrament,
Yes.
that prayer time with Jesus.
Exactly. Silence and prayer time, and we hope to have a priest available to go to confessions to every day.
Wonderful. And I can imagine women can go, but can men go too?
Yes. It's open to everybody, everyone.
To everyone. Wonderful. Yes. That's good to know. All right, let's go ahead and see what groups can benefit from the Liturgical Retreat Center. I have a fondness of youth ministry in the Department of Evangelization and Catechesis. There is the youth ministry office. So I can imagine and only fathom some of the things that our youth can benefit from this retreat center. But what are some of the offerings that you have for youth?
Well, for the youth, we can say it's very spacious, where they can have different activities inside and outside. Like outside, we had a basketball court where they can play or run outside. We'll have a full cafeteria. Also, we have a technology, new technology where they can, have different activities inside.
And it's good that you mentioned full cafeteria because our youth love to eat.
Definitely.
And if there's food, they will be there. If there's right. food, they will come. You know, right. and if there's Jesus, they will come. So food and Jesus.
And we know their favorite foods, pizza, hamburgers, and hot dogs.
So there you go.
They will be available.
And I like that you mentioned technology. The facility is technology friendly. And with our current growth in technology, PowerPoint presentations, systems to hook up to, stereo systems to hook up to this technology for music. Our youth love being inspired by music. It's good to know that the retreat center will be technology friendly. Not only that, and I say this from a professional standpoint, our confirmation retreats. You will offer your facilities to different parishes for that. Is that correct?
That's correct. We will have of confirmation retreats to everyone that could be by parish or they can be all parish together. So we will hold confirmation retreats.
Now let's talk about mm-hmm. the different communities or retreat groups that can benefit. I know that in different parishes, the ACTS retreat is pretty popular, let's say, for lack of a better word. And that stands for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. How can the retreat center benefit that type of retreat or any similar to the ACTS retreat?
Well, we have the first thing we have is our chapel. You know, that would have it would be available for adoration, as we mentioned before. And also, well, we have the cafeteria, and that, you know, they will be right now be used also as like a multi-purpose hall, that, and they will have, you know, all different activities, you know, that the ACTS retreats usually have.
So I know they gather for community over a meal, and they also, one of their big components is adoration, and you have the 300-person mm-hmm. chapel.
That's right.
How many people fit in your cafeteria or the multi-purpose room?
About 300, too.
Okay, so mm-hmm. the limit right now would be perhaps a 300-person retreat.
That is correct.
Okay,
yes.
Wonderful to know. Now, part of your mission, and actually perhaps one of your main missions, is Eucharistic-focused, Eucharistic-centered. Can you speak more about that?
Yes, our charism is actually to take the peace of Christ. And one way of doing it is by leading people to a more profound understanding on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we will be doing some of the retreats focused on that. And also we have classes, we have available conferences on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Right now we have some in Spanish and also in English. So it will be available for, you know, both communities.
You know, Sister Elva, I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, the fact that you're going to have some opportunities for English-speaking persons and Spanish-speaking persons. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for the community to know. So not only will the Liturgical Retreat Center offer daily functions to yes. include the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, yes. adoration, prayers, perhaps some confession time, but you'll also provide your own individual retreats.
That's correct.
To continue the mission of the Pax Christi Institute. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, a third thing would be offering this facility to the various and almost endless groups that are out there. Again, I think you mentioned earlier that this is not just a Catholic facility.
Yes.
Okay, so anyone from any denomination can approach you?
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
What about, let's make it clear, what about non-faith-based groups, or do they have to at least be Christian to be?
We believe in ecumenism. You know, our prayer says that all may be one. You know, the Jesus lives in me, I live in Jesus, Jesus and I are one. That is our spirituality. And that's what we have, that all may be one. But we believe in ecumenism, but for believers in our own faith, no, it would be very difficult to.
To extend it otherwise, well, calling all Christians, if
yes,
you have a group that, yes, right, if you have a group that needs a facility, a liturgical retreat center, again, some of the highlights are the chapel, the 300-person chapel, yes. I must say, for the youth basketball court, you know, let's reinforce that. You have outdoor space.
Yes, we do.
As well as a full cafeteria or a multi-purpose room that seats 300 people. I also understand, sisters, that you have a gala coming up.
Yes, we have organizing a gala dinner coming up on April 19 at 5:30, from 5:30 to 9 at the Omni Hotel. And all the is all what we get from the gala dinner is going to benefit the retreat center, which we set the stained glass windows and a prayer garden.
So that basically, not only are you providing services with this retreat center to the community, but right now you're still in the process of finishing the construction of it.
Yes.
And so there's funds needed. And so you're having a gala on April 19th. Mm-hmm. If anyone wanted to donate to this ministry, where would you send them?
They can communicate at 4601 Cal Island Drive, Corpus Christi, Texas. Our telephone number is 361-241-2833. And Sister Guadalupe is in charge of the fundraising program right now.
Sisters, I wish you all the luck, and I pray that the building is constructed beautifully. And I also ask that anyone in the community, if you have more information, call Sister Guadalupe or visit their website at www.paxchristisisters.com. You know, it was great to learn about your charism, to learn about the history of the sisters. And I thank you for being with us on Labors of Love.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you so much.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Modern politicians appear to have a lot in common with farmers of old. It seems as if they learned some of their tricks from those forefathers of ours. For example, take the old art of catching wild pigs. To protect their crops, farmers wanted the pigs kept out of their fields, so they trapped them. The first thing they did was to find a suitable place in the woods and put corn on the ground. The pigs would find the corn and eat it. The farmer returned the next day and put out more corn. They did this day after day. Once the pigs were accustomed to coming for the free corn, the farmer erected a fence on one side of the place where the pigs were eating. The pigs, coming for an easy meal, ignored the fence. A few days later, the farmer would put up another section of fence, and once the pigs were used to it as well, he would put up a third side. All the while, he kept putting corn on the ground for the pigs. After several days, the farmer put up the fourth side of the fence, with an opening for a gate. After making sure that the pigs would go through the open gate, the farmer put out corn once more, but this time he concealed himself among the nearby brush and waited for the pigs to enter what had become a pen. Once the pigs passed through the gate to eat the corn, the farmer would trip the gate closed, thereby capturing the whole herd with only a few days' work. When the pigs realized something had changed, they ran around inside the fence, but they couldn't get out. Soon they would go back to eating the corn, having lost their freedom. After a while, they became so used to receiving free corn that they forgot how to forage in the woods for themselves, and so they accepted their captivity. In a like manner, our modern-day politicians have led us to a place where we find ourselves today. One tantalizing argument after another, we have been led to believe that disrupting the natural activity of the human body is health care, that refusing to cooperate with the vocation of man that arises from being created in the image and likeness of God is actually better than what God created us for. Many among us have come to believe that artificial contraception is a viable alternative to accepting responsibility for the expression of our sexual being in accordance with God's purpose for mankind. Arising from the blind acceptance of this fence of lies being constructed around us, comes the current social crisis we find ourselves facing. The Health and Human Services mandate that violates the right to conscious protection for all persons of faith, regardless of their creed or denomination. Jesus told his disciples, "If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." By the same token, if we walk according to the ways of the world, we will stumble in darkness and lies, because we are not abiding in the truth, and it is not in us. God calls us to be wiser than swine, for we are created in His image and likeness. May your sacred moments awaken you to the truth of God's calling, and may you find the strength to reject the darkness that would take your freedom and enslave you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Sister Elva, Superior General for the Pax Christi Institute, and Sister Guadalupe, who is the Secretary General, who spoke to us about the Liturgical Retreat Center. If you would like more information, please call them at 361-241-2833 or visit their website at www.paxchristisisters.com. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.